Welcome to the Dynamics Hot Dish, the podcast where Ashley Steiner, Allie Nelson, and Liz McLennan dish up the latest news and insights about Dynamics and the Power Platform. Join us to explore business applications and low-code development with tips, tricks, and real-world experiences. So grab a seat at the table and let's dig in. Take your Dynamics skills to new Rocky Mountain heights and join Dynamics Hot Dish and over 2,000 fellow community members at DynamicsCon Live, May 13th to the 16th in Denver. Dive into cutting-edge content on D365, Dynamics GP, Power Platform, and more. Visit live.dynamicscon.com for details, and when registering, make sure to use the promo code HOTDISHINVITE15 for 15% off your registration. Again, that's Hot Dish Invite 15. We'll see you there.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining in for another episode of Dynamics Hot Dish, and happy 2024. This is the first episode that Liz, Ashley, and I have all recorded in a while, so we're getting our feet under us a little bit on this and getting back to it. We've been working hard on some other interview-type podcast episodes that you guys have seen, and we've shared those out with you already as well. But that's why I had to throw the happy 2024 in there, because it's the first one with all of us here, and we hope you're all having a good year so far. And before we get started today, just a reminder to like and subscribe to our channel on YouTube, and you can find us on other social media platforms as well, X or Twitter and Instagram, and now we're on TikTok as well. So search for Dynamics Hot Dish and give us a follow. All right, and now leading into this week's episode, you know, again, I think in the spirit of starting off this new year, we wanted to kind of start with a foundational level topic. So we're going to be talking about kind of what is Dynamics 365, what is the Power Platform, and laying that foundation for you guys this week. All right, so I guess kicking into it, if you guys had to describe to somebody who doesn't work in the industry what Dynamics is, what would you tell them?
I think that's a loaded question because when you say Dynamics, I automatically think of CRM, right? Because that's my background, which in my mind, it's a lot easier to explain CRM than it is a lot of the other stuff because everybody, because I always say, oh, like, think about it. When you go to the store and they ask for your email or your phone number, that goes into a database system where they can then keep in touch with you and do things like that. And so then people are like, oh, I totally get it. Like, yeah, my information goes into a system. So it's like something that they're not necessarily interacting with, but that they understand because they get asked. So that part is really easy. The rest of it to me is not as easy to explain.
I mean, I think it depends on the person's background, because if they are working on anything ERP side of the house, like finance, accounting, inventory, supply chain, they might, you know, pick up on the ERP concepts faster. So I think to summarize, Dynamics is a bunch of different products. I don't know how far back we want to go, if we want to talk about the legacy stuff or just what's kind of in the cloud and, you know, on the market today. But it's basically an enterprise ERP system and an SMB ERP system and then a CRM system that all fall under the umbrella of Dynamics. But there's also some like legacy on-prem ERP systems that used to be called Dynamics 2. So, and they all have a bunch of different names. Like, I also think that's really confusing and hard to figure out when you're new, is like all the different names for like basically the same product.
Somebody told me the other day that there's 41 acquisitions that make up the Dynamics products. I don't know if that's true or accurate, but that literally came up in conversation just recently.
I could see that. Like, think of how many acquisitions make up CRM as we know it today, like Field One, Parachure, Marketing Pilot.
Like, yeah, I was gonna say, what did they buy for?
ADX Studio. Like, there's been a lot. So that doesn't surprise me if you count. Like,
maybe it sounds too low once you start saying that. Anyways.
Yeah.
What about you, Allie? Like, how would you describe or define Dynamics?
Well, it's funny because this is something that I have to do, right? Like, when we're starting on projects with clients, I do a lot of multi-workload, which basically means multiple platforms within the Dynamics 365 realm. So even though I'm dedicated to CE, customer engagement, or CRM, I'll work a lot with our BC teams or our F&O teams, who are two of the ERP solutions, right? BC is more of the small business, and then F&O, or what is it now? Finance and supply chain, FNSCM. That's more like enterprise level. And so this is a conversation I have to have a lot of like, well, dynamics is finance and operations and dynamics is CE. And I think in all of our backgrounds, like at one point when we went from ground to cloud, right? Like when we all migrated to the cloud, that's when they made the change in name to Dynamics 365. So I swear all of us with our individual platforms started referring to it as D365. And then when all of the tools started coming together, everyone still had that language of like, oh, now I'm on D365. I'm like, wait, so am I. Oh, wait, but you're talking about the ERP.
What apps are you using though?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's funny, but like, I think it's more, it helps people to understand that Dynamics 365 is all of these products or apps all under one umbrella, right? So they're like part of the business applications. They help your business run. There's tools or apps related to CRM, customer relationship management, and then there's ERP tools. And then, yeah, we could get into all the different apps in the middle, but that's usually where I start. I guess that's a little history lesson too.
Yeah. And I mean, and we are talking about D365, which is like the cloud offering, but I don't want to ignore the fact that there are on-prem like deployments still today. And so like you could be on-prem, you know, NAV, AX, GP, CRM, and like SL. That's still SL. Is that still around? I feel like GP is such a bigger holdout than SL. So.
Yeah, SL is still there. You can find them.
Okay. But, all right, what is like, SL I didn't want to ignore that side of it. Solomon.
Oh, I was going to say, I have no idea what it stands for. Okay.
Solomon. Yeah.
Another NAV acquisition. Right.
They're all acquisitions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever used any of those other tools?
I've used SL as an end user. We logged our time at Power Objects that way.
I've worked at a company where they use GP as their accounting software. I personally, not being in accounting, did not use it, but we had to have an integration with CRM, all on-prem, CRM on-prem, GP on-prem.
It's when I first started at my first company out of college, it was Davey, the tree company. And I remember that we had a whole bunch of like Navision account numbers and stuff when we were in CRM. And I started right when we went to CRM 2011 versus, and they had just come off of CRM 4.0. And I thought Navision was like the precursor to CRM for a while. And then I realized it's not. And then I further realized that NAV is Navision, and it's all like all these connections started getting made in my mind.
Well, I think one of the confusing things is that a lot of these ERPs actually do have their own CRM system. Like F&O has a basic CRM system. So a lot of times when you talk to people that are using F&O and you say like, oh, I work with, you know, CRM, and they're like, oh, like, and they ask you questions or they start talking about it, it's very obvious that they're not using what we would call legacy CE. I mean, technically CE is not a term used anymore, but what else would you call all of the CE modules?
What are we supposed to call it though? Like, I've been wondering that.
There is no answer. There has been many a discussions that I've been a part of and seen, and Microsoft doesn't even have an answer for you.
Because I feel like I just say switch CE. Between CE and CRM these days. Same. Because I don't know how else to refer to the grouping of legacy CRM apps without listing off like five different apps.
Well, they would want you to list off all five, and it's just not feasible. So
not
anyway,
in a conversation, no.
Totally down a different rabbit hole of that. Yeah, that's a whole conversation. But these ERP systems do have their own CRM system. So Ali, in your case, they could have been using the CRM that was in NAV. So yeah, anyways, so to describe what CRM is to people, I mean, it's kind of, I know this is a term that people are trying to get away from, but it's like your front office systems and your back office systems. Like, what do your customer facing people use versus what are your, you know, behind the scenes accounting, finance, those kinds of folks. So, I mean, that's really what it is it's your baseline front office and back office systems.
Do we want to dig a layer deeper and like provide an overview of each of the CRM apps?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say 100%. Because we mentioned that one of you guys, I can't remember who, but just mentioned that there's the five different apps, right? And I like how they're named because they're named after the departments or like the teams that they work with. But also trying to use the names that they have and describing them to people is super confusing. Right? Like to be able to say like, oh, your customer service team goes into the customer service app. And then when you're trying to summarize it in emails and you say you go into customer service, and it's like, well, but now wait, because like they have a customer service team. So how do I say, like, oh yeah, you go into sales app and you have to use app in order for it to make any sense. Otherwise, I feel like emails and communications get confusing because you start like saying the name of the app to the same team that has the same name. And it's just all sorts of confusing. But anyway, that's two of them. So we got sales, customer service, project operations, which is Ashley's new love, marketing.
And I don't know if love is the right word. You're going out on a limb there. I would say just implement, you know, I've done a couple implementations now and I feel like it's not that common for people to have done project apps.
So, why don't you think it's more common?
Because it's terrible. Sorry.
That's I want to dig truth. Into that, but that might be a whole nother episode. In like one sentence, why is it terrible?
it's new. That's the only way to describe it is it's the newest app out of all of them. And so it's just not very well baked. Like there's just a lot of things that I would have done differently, you know, having implemented it now. So I would just say it's that. It's just the fault of being, you know, a newer app because they took PSA and turned it into Project Ops, but they didn't bring over all of the PSA functionality into Project Ops.
But PSA wasn't good either.
Right. So imagine PSA, but like half the functionality. Yeah.
So why? I mean, why?
They're making changes to it. No, I make it sound way worse than it is. But, you know, it's a great, like as a project manager, it's a great tool, right? Because you're basically using Project Online in a way then for people to then submit their time and things like that. And you can do all of that financial reporting without going to an ERP system or having to use an Excel spreadsheet. So from a project manager's standpoint, it's a dream.
And what sort of industries or like work streams do you think are the best fit for project apps?
So consulting, I would say, is probably the biggest, but a wide variety of consulting. Like I've done it, I've implemented it for like training consultants. Like they do training. I can't get too far into, I don't want to like call them out, but yeah, they do contract training. And then our industry, I would say I know a lot of people who use project apps in our industry. Because it automates a lot of the resource assignment where you can like schedule resources. And that's one of the things that I would say has always been a burden in our industry, especially for the practice director who has to decide where everybody goes on what projects is this, you know, project ops can automate a lot of that. Yeah. But if we want somebody to talk about like the ins and outs of project ops, I don't think I'm the person for that. I know lots of people, but
different episode.
Yeah. Different episode. Yeah, for sure.
And I think you've talked about it in the past too, haven't you? Yeah.
Yeah. Just high level.
How about field service?
Yeah, who wants to talk about that one?
Field service, I think, is really, really interesting, too, overall. I would love to be a user of it, truthfully, because, again, I'll go back to the company I first worked at out of college. They had, like, people that worked out in the field going and doing work at clients' properties. And one of the big headaches with that was they had, like, the whiteboard in the office that they would write down the crew's names on. They'd write down the jobs that they went to. And then they would send them out with tri-copy timesheets where they'd, you know, handwrite everything in. And then like a copy goes in the file and a copy goes with payroll and all of that. And so what field service does is removes all of that. And that's like, I just from seeing all that firsthand and knowing that there's a tool out there that can solve all of those headaches. And, you know, I worked in the office back then too. So clients would call and say, hey, when are they going to be at my house? I'm like, I can try to text them and hope that they get back to me. But at that time too, they only had like flip phones and they weren't looking at them all the time. So it's just, I think field service is cool is because it also kind of deals with resourcing. It deals with booking and scheduling, and it keeps all your work orders in one place too. And then the mobile app is good as well. Like you can go and have people clocking in and clocking out at jobs on the mobile device, kind of keeping track of where people are. That's kind of my overview with a little bit of a story.
Allie, do you feel like, or either of you, I guess, is there a certain like size of company that you think is a good fit for field service? I've always heard that it's more of like a medium to enterprise type of deployment because of kind of the level of investment it takes to get it up and running, and maybe not the best solution if you're like, let's say you have fewer than 10 techs or something. Do you have any opinions on that?
I mean, that's what I've heard too. Like, so I guess I was going to give Allie a chance to answer, but my answer to that is, my answer to that is yes. I've always heard even just enterprise. I think it would, the cost perspective gets, I think, really difficult even in a medium-sized business because you're buying a lot. I mean, sometimes you don't need all of it. And so I think that that's where I know we're going to get into talking about the power platform and what that is, where I think extending the power platform can really help. Allie, I don't know about your experience.
Same. Yeah, it's expensive. You know, it's an expensive implementation. And if you have four field people driving around doing things, then maybe it's not the best solution for them. But yeah, larger enterprises. And who was it? I can't remember what company it was, but there's some big company that came and did service at my house once. And I was talking to the tech and I found out that like they use field service on Dynamics too. And it was definitely like a large enterprise company. So I would say that, yeah, I agree with both of what you guys said, just based off of cost and time to implement and things that usually the medium to larger businesses are going to be better suited for it. All right. So summary on field service. What else do we have? Customer service, sales, and marketing, AKA customer insights now, right?
Journeys. Yep. It's customer insights, journeys, and data. They split it.
So
you want to explain that?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Please, because I don't know.
I don't know if I have a good explanation for it. So Allie, you said something that I found really intriguing, that you said that a lot of your customers that are in marketing, you did get them set up on real-time marketing, because I'm hearing like so the opposite from a lot of other people in the space, that once real-time marketing, which is now what they're calling customer insights journeys, rolled out, a lot of people, what's the word, opted out. Like they backtracked into outbound. So, does not answer any of your question that you just asked. What's the difference? So customer insights is what they've rebranded marketing. So the customer insights was a solution that, you know, was kind of like a data lake that was pre-built, that had a lot of the connections into your ERP, your marketing website, all of these different places. And it was, I have a lot of theories, which I'm not going to say publicly on the podcast, but it was so heavily part of like of the marketing solution, like a marketing team's needed a customer insights type tool, that they just combined them together. They're actually even on the same SKU now. So when you buy marketing, like you get customer insights and vice versa. So it's just called customer insights, and they broke it out into customer insights journeys, which is all of the marketing. So that's email, text messaging, events, segmentation, all of the things that you would consider marketing automation is what they call customer insights journey. And then customer insights data is what you would call that like legacy customer insights or CDP type solution, but they come together. You get both when you buy customer insights just automatically. And my theory on that is that Microsoft wasn't selling enough customer insights, so they bundled it so people had to use it. But I don't know if I want to say that publicly.
I think you just did.
We could always cut it out.
I think we leave it. Disclaimer on that. That's a theory, not a fact.
Oh, totally. Yeah. A theory. I know enough about the marketing space and how Microsoft was trying to get their salespeople to sell customer insights, that I just think that they bundled it so that they could get people to buy it.
Well, and if you think about it too, like sales insights is also a thing, but a lot of it's included in like enterprise licenses, which a lot of people get. So from that perspective,
it's different though, because insights is all about like data, where like sales insights is like AI. I guess I would say it that way, right, Ellie? Is that how you would think of sales insights? It's kind of like rolling in AI features.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess, you know, and the word insight may be used a little bit loosely, but it's kind of like information to help you do your job better. And then it's kind of catered to each of those different groups. That's kind of, I don't know. That's how it works in my mind.
Yeah. Right?
So like for sales, maybe it's a good not way just to explain like it. A slew of data, because maybe they don't want to sift through all the data like a marketing team would, but maybe it's just going to like summarize information in a different way. Like you said, using AI capabilities to help them do their jobs a little better.
And there is no customer service insights, is there?
I guess not formally like that. So where my mind went when you said that. So I guess good bridge from customer insights journeys into, or customer insights in general into customer service. But like with customer service, there are some good dashboards that you can get kind of out of the box as well, especially thinking like omnichannel specific, where they're kind of Power BI real-time type dashboards. And I guess I would argue that those are almost the customer insights for customer service, right? Because you want to be able to see like that real-time sentiment and how many calls your team has missed, how many people are waiting on hold, how many calls came into each of your different queues over the past week or so, right? So those are all available, but they're not branded as customer service insights, but I would argue that they are insights.
And you don't have to pay, well, I guess you have to pay for Omnichannel to get it.
Yeah, I think so, yes. All right, well, any other thoughts on the customer insights?
Nothing there. Do we want to do a brief overview of sales and customer service and then get into Power Platform? Liz, we'll let you, take sales, Liz.
I think we should finish customer service, though, because we started down that path. Yeah.
Good idea.
And maybe describe omnichannel versus regular. I don't even know. How do you differentiate those from like
any I'll do it. Convention? I'll talk about customer service. I love customer service.
I can talk about core, but I don't want to talk about omnichannel.
No, I really, really like customer service. And you guys, I've talked about this company many times in this episode now, but I swear so much of my passion for all of this came from that first company that I worked for out of college. And the very first job I had there was in a call center. And so it's a lot of like what I was doing there was like, oh, this is painful. Oh, I want this to be better. And I 100% sympathize and empathize with customer service agents. And to be able to have a tool that can make their jobs more efficient just makes me so excited, which is why I like it so much. So with customer service, there's really like, I guess, three different apps now. So there's the Customer Service Admin Center, the Customer Service Hub, and the Customer Service Workspace. And there used to be the Omnichannel app, but that just got rolled into Customer Service Workspace because the experiences were really similar. So Customer Service Workspace is a whole bunch of different like tabs in one browser screen. So like in your web browser, how you can open up multiple different tabs, you can do that within your one Dynamics screen and have like multiple sessions down the left-hand side, which is basically like conversations with customers. And then you could have multiple tabs across the top. So you can have like, if I'm working with Ashley on this issue, then I can have up her account so I can view information. I can view all the related contacts. I can view all of the previous cases. So you can kind of see all the information all within one screen. And then the admin center is, of course, filled with admin tools. And then the hub is kind of designed, I think, for people more like in supervisory roles where they're not going to be doing the day-to-day in the workspace where maybe that tabular experience isn't really fantastic for them. So they can go into the hub and kind of use their dashboards and go and check on how cases are doing a little bit more freely. And then I would say like for the add-on for Omnichannel, there is an additional license for the Omnichannel capabilities. And it's basically like your voice text kind of channels that come along with that. And it's where you can actually answer like phone calls within CE and you can set up your multiple channels of interactions. So that's where you can use, you know, whatever phone provider, Azure Communication Services, whatever. You can set up texting, you can set up Facebook or other social platforms to all come into one place. So your customer service agents can all be taking these requests and responses all in one application instead of from a whole bunch of different applications. There you go. There's my summary.
I'm glad you did that. You did a much better job than I would have.
Same.
Thanks. And I swear I wasn't reading from the website. There was a point there where I'm like, okay, this is sounding like rehearsed or something, but I swear I'm not like referencing anything.
We wouldn't hold it against you if you were.
All right, sales.
Liz, sales. Yeah.
Sales is my core. It's where I started. It's what I've done the most of, that and XRM. So sales, I'll kind of speak to the traditional stuff or the core stuff. And then if any of you have used any of the more advanced or newer features, I'd love to have you chime in because I haven't personally deployed them. But it's basically a way to help manage what your sales team is working on. So like leads, which is, you know, your kind of prospect kind of record where you haven't qualified them yet. And every company defines that process differently. And then on to opportunities, which is really your pipeline of, you know, what deals are your sales reps pursuing, tracking all the notes and details about that. So core customer information, whether that's B2B or B2C, you know, you have accounts and contacts, so companies in people you can track in there. There's also a bare bones product catalog and quoting system, which a lot of people that need something more robust will pull in an ISV like Expert Logics if you need something more than what that can offer. But you can kind of put your products or services onto the quote and then do a quote order and invoice from there. And that order invoice is really where you would start to hand information off to an ERP system and do an integration. That's when you're kind of getting out of core sales and where that data really is belonging somewhere else. You also have kind of some legacy functionality like goals, which I don't see used that much anymore. But you can track like, you know, how they're doing against certain targets. And then there is like forecasting, I know now, and some more advanced functionality, but I don't have personal experience with that. I only have theoretical knowledge. So if either of you have used that, I'd love to hear. And then there's the, I don't know what you call them, but like those AI assistant cards. There's like a free version and a paid for like custom version, but it can prompt like your sales team of like, you haven't followed up in this opportunity in this long, or it can track sentiment. And so they're just kind of like prompts that you can see on the record on a dashboard. And it's supposed to help guide the salesperson through their day and kind of show priorities for them and all of that as well. I'm trying to think of what I'm missing. Outlook so integration, like comps.
Yeah, I was gonna say they rolled those assistant cards into Sales Insights now.
Oh, so they did.
Okay. All of that like add-on sales stuff is really nice because it's just Sales Insights. Like, I think it's just Sales Insights and Sales Insights Premium.
Okay.
That you pay for. So yeah. Cool. Anyways, to answer your question.
Thanks. Yeah, I think the Outlook integration is a huge key for sales teams too, because like there's so much appointment scheduling, emailing, and like tracking interactions in CRM kind of automatically.
Teams integration, I would say, has been a game changer. A lot of salespeople don't even like log into CRM in a browser, right? They just use it in Teams now, and then they just interact and socialize with the team that they need to get stuff done. So
same with customer service.
That's how you cover it well. Too.
Yeah, the Teams chat and customer service is awesome as well. Because if you need help or whatever, you can just pull that up really quick. But yeah, I mean, we could go on and on about all of these. All right. And I know we promised in this episode, originally, we had mentioned that we're going to talk about Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform. But in typical fashion, we have so much to say about all of these topics because we love sharing information with you. So we're actually going to pivot and do our next episode on the Power Platform. So we're going to leave you guys with a cliffhanger today. We covered the 5 Dynamics CE CRM. We haven't decided what we're calling that grouping anymore, but we talked a little bit about project operations, field service, sales, customer service, and customer insights journeys. And next time you'll hear from us about the 5 Power Platform pieces, which are Power Apps, Power BI, Power Automate, Power Pages, and Power Virtual Agents. So thanks for joining us this week, and come back next time for our next episode about the Power Platform.
Thanks for tuning in to Dynamics Hot Dish, your go-to podcast for all things Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform. If you found this episode helpful, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to follow us on social media for even more insights and updates on the latest trends and best practices in business applications and low-code development. We'll be back soon with another delicious serving of Dynamics and Power Platform goodness. Until then, keep innovating and building great solutions.